RNZ National and its Men's Health Week this week. And last night on Lately, we featured a story on male suicides in the construction industry. And following the program, I received an email from Tauranga psychologist Hans Levine, who, as well as being a psychologist, belongs to a group who call themselves MOMA, the Ministry of Men's Affairs. Hans wrote in his email, "More New Zealand men commit suicide each year than our total road and homicide tolls combined. Yet most coverage of suicide doesn't even mention the gender ratio or the extent to which it's a male issue. So thanks for highlighting this. However, although more readiness to seek help may reduce suicide, that depends on male suitable help being available." So we thought we'd give Hans a call and find out more. Good evening, Hans.
Hi, Karen.
Hans, we spoke last night about male suicide, specifically in the construction industry, but it's a major problem, isn't it?
Well, yes, in general.
So are there any solutions from your business as a psychologist, but from a government level as well? What can we do about it?
Well, I do think it's important that our suicide prevention strategies devote a fair bit of attention to male-specific forms of intervention. The thing about seeking help and getting counselling is may be counterproductive, because the thing is that it's very important for men to feel they're contributing and coping and independent and strong. They are important images for men, and it's often when they don't feel that there's increased suicidality. And so the idea of going and crying in front of a counsellor may be counterproductive. So it may be more useful to have interventions that go to male workplaces and kind of show strong coping approaches and for general work to be done to increase men's self-esteem and sense of worth, that sort of thing.
What might be some of those coping strategies? If you went to someone's workplace, and it's good because you're in a group and nobody has to stand out and bring their problems to the fore, but what might you teach them or show them in terms of coping?
Well, I guess a normalisation of feeling that way, perhaps some talk to increase understanding of some of those dynamics that are going on for men, possibly to teach people about warning signs, because there are risk factors is one thing, and there's numerous of those, and none of them have a great correlation with suicide, but there are warning signs, and one of the main warning signs is uncontrollable emotion or uncontrollable grief. And if people learn about warning signs and are given some advice about how to intervene with their colleagues and friends in a male kind of a way, I think that would probably go a long way. But they're just a few ideas.
Sorry, I'm being ignorant here because I'm looking at it from the other perspective, but what is a male kind of way in that situation?
Well, as I said before, it's ways that's kind of respect masculinity and male ways of thinking and doing. It's probably doing stuff alongside doing something practical rather than sitting in a room talking to each other with a box of tissues.
I can't help but smile.
Yeah.
I can't help but smile at that, yes. So practical ways. Like what?
Doing practical things, with an opportunity to talk. So actually, two people at a workplace and somebody talking a bit while they work, that's probably a very good way. Having said all that, one of the problems is that we haven't really done the research. There's not a lot of good research on male suicide and ways of stopping it. So the research needs to be done too. Some of those things I'm saying, they come more from experience in working with men.
Yes, I see. And Hans, you say that you're fighting to swing the pendulum back, to bring men's issues to the fore. What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, I think, men's welfare and issues affecting them have been sidelined and ignored. It's been good that a lot of women's issues have had a lot of attention, and but men are struggling in some ways, and it's time some of their issues were tended to as well, I think.
Do we not value men enough and their contribution to society and their contribution daily?
I guess, you know, men, it's important for men that they feel they're contributing and that their contribution is valued. And going back a long way, you know, men have fallen on their sword if they feel that they're not contributing. So if the stock market crashes and the man can't bring home good money, he'll jump out the window. Or this goes back a long way. And the gender ratio in suicide goes back a long way too, well into the 19th century that, from the records that we have. You know, I think a lot of men hear a lot of criticism and denigration these days. And I for one, believe, although the research hasn't really been done on it, that's one of the factors that now is contributing to the male suicide rate. But there are many other factors that have been long existing.
Hans, can you tell me what you mean by criticism and denigration? Just some examples, or, you know, what area are we talking?
Well, gender studies sort of blame men for all evil, basically, and men are treated as though they're predators, and if there's a marriage breakup, there's all kinds of allegations made against the man, and the family court readily believes those allegations, and men's relationships with their children are very vulnerable and often are wrecked through these procedures. There's many levels. Even the response to suicide, the fact that the gender ratio in suicide is often not even mentioned in articles on suicide, and the Ministry of Health Suicide Prevention Plan hardly mentions men, and suggests programs to reduce suicide in all kinds of groups except men. doesn't have anything specifically related to men. I think there's many ways in which I think men have always been the ones sent to the front line to die, and men have been treated as disposable, and not much has changed there. But with feminist ideology, I think there's a lot of blame and denigration of men.
This is a huge issue to unpick, but let's just do it step by step as much as we can within the program. I totally understand what you mean in regard to the courts and men in a relationship breakup, but surely the courts are looking at that each individual situation and making the right call, or are they not, in your opinion?
Hopefully sometimes they do. But the law itself, I think, is faulty. I think, you know, making decisions that damage or reduce the quality of a relationship between one parent and the other based on the standard of proof called the balance of probabilities is totally inadequate for such a serious decision. And things like, the Domestic Violence Act with protection orders, they're ordered on the basis of allegations without any evidence whatsoever often. I think there's a lot of inadequacy there, and it's kind of under the assumption that, men are bad and so err on the side of caution, but of course it's not really caution to damage children's relationships with a parent.
But it's an issue that's not going to change overnight, but how can our system look at that in a different way?
Well, there was a review of the family court recently, and we've contributed to that with lots of recommendations. I mean, the law needs to change. For example, perjury needs to be prosecuted in the family court if there's evidence that somebody's made up false allegations. That should be referred to the police for prosecution, so that that kind of thing is discouraged and reduced. But there's many, many changes need to be made in law and attitude, in my opinion.
Very good, Hans. Well, thanks for the email. I appreciated your response to last night, and it was good talking to you tonight as well.
Yeah, thank you very much for a bit of attention to that issue. Great.
Thanks, Hans.
Okay, Karen.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
It's psychologist Hans Levin.